Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be here. The last time we were in a high some school somewhere. This is so much better. So much better. Yes, I am so glad to be here. As you've heard, my name is Faith. I have a new name, Obonyo. God has blessed me with a handsome husband. Yes, so I thank him for that. As I come to share, I've been going to Quest in West Liberty for the last, since 2012. How many years are those? 6 or 7 years, yes. So that's how long I've been going there. And as I come to speak to you, I really would want to say, I'm not standing here as somebody who's got it all together. So as we share this message, it's coming from a heart that is going through what you also are going through. And so as we share it, I would just like us to look at the Bible and see what does it have to teach us every day as we live our lives. So let us pray as we share this story together. Father, how we worship you and we honor you. And God, as I stand here, it's a privilege to stand before your children. And as I speak your word, I pray that God, you may anoint my heart, my mouth, that I may not say anything that you would want me to say. And let me speak that which you want to minister into our hearts today. If there be anyone that needs a word from you, and I believe we all do, may you speak to us. We open ourselves to you, and we repent of anything that would make you not hear us or even receive us calling unto you. And we ask you, God, to forgive us. And we pray that, God, if there be any blockage anywhere, we destroy that in the name of Jesus. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Originally, we come from Kenya, both of us. And we just came back from Kenya where we had gone for a trip, 15 of us, some from Quest, some from different places. The reason being, I have an orphanage with about 20 children. And so we, with other friends, we kind of work on that. And so what we were going to do there, we have been trying to build a dormitory for the kids, for the orphans. And because where they are living is a rented place, it's really small, they're outgrowing that. And so we went there to try and finish up this dormitory that we've been working on. We were not able to completely finish it, but we worked very hard. But we also spent a very good time with the community, the village where we were. And we had open church services in the evening for 2 days. And it was awesome. I mean, Pastor Bill preached both of the days. I know you know Pastor Bill from Quest. And he preached both of those days. And the turnout was great. 7 people gave their lives to Christ. And that, to me, just proved that it doesn't matter where you come from. When you preach the love of Christ, it penetrates into the hearts of people because we are all made the same and the heart of God is in each and every one of us. He spoke plain English. Majority of them could not understand English that gave their lives, but there was somebody interpreting for him. And the message came across clearly. And to me, that was pretty encouraging and very challenging to even see that. It was a wonderful trip. God really enabled us to do a lot of things. We also did a medical camp on the Saturday. We got there on Friday night. Saturday the whole day. We went into the village, and we had planned for a medical camp. A company here had given us a lot of medical supplies. So we went with them. We went with nurses, and then we had local nurses, and together with the doctors, dentists, eye doctors, we worked the whole day that day just looking at people that had never seen a doctor in their lifetime. Dentist pulled about 100 people's teeth, I mean, in that one day. And there was just so much going on. And just to see the love of God upon the team that went, together with the team that was there, to me was very challenging. And I'm sharing this to just show you the love of God has no limits. And we saw on that day about 488 people that came along that line just to be taken care of. And that has really motivated me to just love God, to just want to do his will, to just want to be in his place. And I pray that each one of us would desire that of what God wants of you. What I want to share from you is from the story that maybe some of you have heard, the story of David and Goliath. Who has ever heard that story? Maybe you're thinking, gee, what can she tell us about this one? I already know this. I grew up in Sunday school. I know about David and I know about Goliath. I pray that when I'm finished, we'll have something that we shall have learned from this story. If you've never learned, heard about it, great. At least you hear it from me for the first time. But I hope that we're going to learn something from it. So why would I share this story about David and Goliath? Let me give the background of what's happening when we come into this story. I like stories. I grew up being told stories by my grandmother, so I really enjoy stories, and I think they really stick. You know, where is Heather? Heather was sharing with me that one time I was preaching in Quest, and her son still remembers a story that I told, an analogy that I told about potatoes. And I forgot the analogy until she said, I said, yeah, I do remember. That's quite a few years ago, but he still remembers. I love stories because they have a message and they stick. So the story we are about to say is from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me see if I can read without these glasses. I think I can. So chapter 17, and the story begins. I'm not going to read the whole of it. It's pretty long. It's from verse 1 to all the way to 47. So I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to mark it here. But I'm going to tell it. We approach it where now we have two armies. I've never been to Israel, so you're going to picture with me the way I picture it. If you've been there, great. So in the, what is happening is that there are always wars going on between Israel and the neighboring nations. So at this particular time when the story is happening, the Israelites are about to go to war with the Philistines. And apparently, on one side, there's a hill on one side and another hill on the other side, and in the middle is a ravine or a valley. And the battle is supposed to take place in the valley. And what used to happen those days is that the armies would come out there, one army on this side and the other on this side, and they would challenge each other, like probably working each other up to battle until the day of battle comes. So that's what was happening. So in this particular story, there is this Israelite army and there is the Philistines army. On the Israelites army is King Saul and his army, and on the other side is a guy called Goliath, who is a huge giant. He's 9 feet. And everybody can see him. He is really great. He's wearing all this bronze and everything to the armor to fight. So these two armies are going on, bickering to one another. Hey, come and fight me. And the other one is saying, hey, I can beat you. And they are going on and on about it. And actually it says this went on for 40 days. Can you imagine? Every morning you wake up, all you're doing is bickering. Hey, we are going to beat you. And then the other one is saying, hey, we are going to beat you for 40 days. So that's what's happening. Now, Goliath on the side of the Philistines is really feared. He is powerful. He is big. So when he steps out, he says, look at me. Look at how great I am. The army of Israel, send somebody to come and fight me. And I'm going to crush him and I'm going to kill him and I'm going to throw him to the birds of the air. And the Israelites, you can imagine, on the other side, they're standing there. And Saul, who is a king, hears this. And he and his men, all of them are terrified. We are told here that whenever Goliath came out, that is on verse 6. Whenever he came out and he said, who come and fight me? They were terrified and they got scared. Now, on this army of Saul are brothers. And among them is David, and he is the youngest of these brothers. He doesn't belong to the army, but he comes to visit them. For these 40 days, he's been coming to visit them on and off. And so he comes this one day, and it's in the morning, and suddenly he hears Goliath stand up and say, who can come and fight me? And he looks around and he sees everybody is terrified of this man. And young David, we understand, was probably about 17 years then. We are told whenever this man came out and said this and everybody was terrified, David looked at them and wondered, what kind of army is this? They are terrified by a man? But then they are looking at him and seeing this 9 feet kind of a man. Yes, that would be terrifying. So David looks around and he tells Saul, so I will go fight this giant. And Saul looks at him. And the brothers actually told him something that I really like here. When he said he is going to fight, the brother said, "What's wrong with you now? Why have you come here? Don't you see this is a battle for men like us? You better go and tend to the sheep that you're used to tending to." Because David used to tend to the sheep of his father. And so he was telling me, "You're not worth to be in this army. You better go back and tend to the sheep back there." And David looks at all of them and they are all nervous about this Goliath and they're all scared and he's wondering, "I'm going back and you're all nervous? Who's going to fight this guy?" And so he says, he turns up and tells Saul, "I'm going to fight him." Can you imagine this? And Saul looks at this boy and he says, "You are?" "Yes, I am." And Saul says, actually he says, and I think he was saying that out of despair, he says, "Saul said to David, 'You go and may God be with you.'" And I can imagine David hearing that. So what does David do? He comes and says, "I'm going to fight." I imagine him as young as these young people here. And he's challenging and saying, "I'm going to fight the Goliath." And Saul comes with all the armors and all the things that needs to be worn. He says, "Let me put these things on you because you need this armor to go fight the giant." And he tries to put the armor on David. And David is staggering under the weight of this thing. And he's about to fall and he says, "Oh, no, 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 I can't fight with this thing. I cannot fight with this thing." And Saul is wondering, "Then what are you going to fight with?" So he takes out the armor and then puts it down. And then he says, I'm going to fight this guy. How are you going to fight him?" And David looks at them and says, "When I was tending my father's sheep, a lion and a bear came after them, and I killed them with my bare hands. And this Philistine, I will kill him, because he is coming against the army of God." And they look at him. And of course, he just like David, I'm sure they were looking and seeing, there's nothing that this kid can do. So he takes what he is used to using. He takes his 5 stones, because he was used to being in the farm and in the bushes. And then he gets a sling. Does everybody know what a sling is? He takes a sling. He gets 5 stones and says, "I'm going to kill him with these 5 stones and this sling." And they're looking at him. And they're wondering, does he know what he's talking about? And just suddenly, this morning, Goliath comes up again. And there is David standing and looking at him. And Goliath, as usual, says, he looks and sees, "Are they trying to send that boy to fight me?" And he says, "Am I a dog that you send me this little thing to come and fight me? Don't you see who I am?" And David challenges him and tells him, "Because you have defiled the armies of God, I will fight you and I will kill you." And I can see Goliath laughing so loudly that it was echoing across the hill, because how he's got, what a shame that this whole big army of Israel is sending this little boy to fight a giant like me who has been fighting forever. Why am I telling this story? Can you try to imagine with me, for 40 days, why do you think Goliath came out every day for 40 days to announce his powers to these armies? Why was he doing this for 40 days? Because he not only knew he was powerful, but he had to fight psychological warfare to the army of Israel, so that if there was even any hope left, you'd destroy it. So by the 40 days, there would not be a challenge for him. And when I'm thinking about that story, I said, I'm not coming here as one who's got it all together. And I'm thinking of a giant like Goliath in my life or in your life. And how often he fights us psychological battles. I have been fought and I'm being fought. You have been fought and you're going to be fought. He comes out and he makes this small thing look big, or a big thing look bigger. So he comes up with all these, he becomes a giant. You wake up in the morning And he tells you, don't you remember the mess you did yesterday? You cannot succeed. You really can't. Don't you remember your failures from yesterday? You're not going to succeed. And he shows you how doomed you really are. He gets you so depressed you don't even want to come out of bed. This, you wake up in the morning, he is telling you, don't you see I've overcome you? You wake up in the morning, you remember the diagnosis the doctor gave you yesterday. You look at the things you're going through and you can see this giant in front of you looks like it is so big. Don't you think that that giant looked big in front of David and the army of Israel? It did. The only difference was that now there is the army so scared by this giant, and then there is David who comes up and does not have much, does not have experience, does not know the Bible very much probably. He only knows, when I am tending my father's sheep and the lions come, I turn to this God and I tell him, give me strength now and I can fight this bear with my bare hands. And he's done it. And so that's the only thing he knows, that when I am out there, my God fights for me. And so the same God who has fought for me is going to fight for me with this giant Goliath. Therefore, I am going to use what I know. I am going to use what I have, the sling that I have got, and I am going to aim at this guy. And he stands up across on the other side, and he gets a sling, and he aims at this man, and sure enough, he is so big that he could not even miss this face. So he aims at this guy that he hits right in the middle, and the guy falls down dead. When the enemy fights a psychological warfare, he really does make giants look big. But the bigger they are, the more the opportunity to see God working. The more they look big, the more he is expecting that we would trust, I cannot fight this giant. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the strength. I don't have the manners. I don't even have what it needs to be done. I can only trust that my God who fought for me yesterday when the bears and the lions came is going to fight this big giant that stands so big before me. But we've got to be sure of who we are. Who am I? Who are you? Because if we do not have the confidence of who we are in Christ, we are going to be shaken by the giants that come. And they are there. There are very many. But David was confident of who he was in God. He was a child of God. He knew he was a child of God. And he was very confident of that fact. So not that he had not sinned or not that he had not done. I'm sure he did wrong things. But he was confident. Though I have done everything wrong probably, I am confident my God will not let me down with this giant. I am confident my God will fight for me with this giant. I am confident that I shall be able to overcome this giant. And sure enough, God never let him down. He fought for him. And I want to challenge us today. I have told you, my life, I like to talk about me because I only know me. I don't know you, you don't know me, I know me. My life gets giants. And I can go back and just give you a few examples. In 2010, my ex-husband, we were ministers preaching the gospel, hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're going to heaven. A bishop and I'm a pastor. And he walks out on us. And he goes away and marries another woman. What do you as a pastor start telling people? What happened to your God? What happened to the Jesus you've been preaching? I didn't know what I was going to tell people about this Jesus that we've been talking about for the last 20 years. And I had been a Christian even before then. And now here he is, this has happened. What do you start telling people? And I thought, I've got to make a choice here. This giant is pretty big. I remember I used to go to church. And I would cry and cry and cry because I didn't know why would God let me down like this? To me, I started going through all the grieving processes. I had lost them. I had not gotten married thinking there was a plan B. I knew there was only one plan, to get married, right? But here now it's fallen apart. And here I am. What do you do? And you've got to make a choice. And David had to make a choice. Here is this giant standing so big, mocking the army of God, mocking the faith you've believed, mocking the little thing you know about God. And he's making you feel like you're nothing, nothing, this little, that the faith you have ever trusted in is gone. Where do you turn to? And sometimes I would sleep and wake up and I don't feel like I want to get out of that bed because I don't know how I'm going to go on out there. But as I surrendered, as I gave, as I said, God, I may not know much, and because I think everything that I thought I knew is gone, but I know one thing. If I am going to die, I better die in you. Knowing that I am going to heaven if I die, because I am not going outside of you. I am staying in you. And I chose to stay in him. And he healed me. And healed me over time. I didn't know how it all happened. I can't say that I woke up one day. But it takes time. As you surrender. As he shows you. As the flags come in. As things stand up here and they keep flooding at you. You surrender him and he heals you and he works in you. That was not all. When I thought the giant was gone and many other giants are coming, then I lost my daughter in 2014. That's one of the most painful giants that you can face. And I was like, okay, the first one, yes. Now this one is another bigger giant. And I'm going, what on earth? Where is this God? And then I remembered, no. He is still on target. He is still alive. Is it painful? Oh, yes. Really painful. But then I knew I had to trust God, that the same God who got me through the other one is going to get me through this one. Is it easy? No. Does he come through? Yes. Is it painful? Yes. Does he walk with you? Yes. Even in that valley, he walked and walked and walked with me. And that's how the orphanage got born, by the way. Giants never cease, and they have come, and they keep coming, and they keep in the midst. God blesses. We came back from Kenya. And on the Monday after, no, Sunday, that Sunday, I come from church and we are driving home. And I got this sharp pain. I thought I was going to die. And I'm going, what on earth happened in Kenya? Now I'm blaming Kenya. What on earth happened to me in Kenya? What did I contract in Kenya? And I couldn't walk. I'm like, I couldn't. So at the end of the story, we end up in the emergency room. Does that mean I don't trust God? I still do, but I also trust that the doctors have been put there so God can use them. And so we go to the emergency room, and I have this pain, and they can see. I can handle a lot of pain, probably because of what I've gone through. I can handle pain, but this one? And I'm in the emergency room, and they put me in this room, and they come and take me. We've got to take a scan. You appear you're in so much pain. So they don't even give me anything until they do this scan because they want to find out what's going on. And I'm going like, oh my gosh. So we get there and they scan me and they find this 11 millimeter kidney stone sitting in my kidney. And I'm going like, okay. How do you handle this pain? What do you do? And I'm in that room and I am asking them, can we take it out? Can we do something? And they let me know that one, the machine that can deal with this one is only available on Thursday. And so we're going to give you something for pain. And I don't do well with narcotics. So they couldn't even do that. So they give me this pain medication to go home. And it doesn't cut it, really. because it comes, okay, we take it, in 4 hours, it's back like it was never there. So I'm back again with the pain, and I'm sitting there, and I can't even go to work. And so I'm sitting at home, I'm trying to make these days go by, I'm sleeping off, and the pain is there, and come Wednesday, and I'm excited, we're going to have this thing taken care of, right? And I get a call. And they tell me, oh, you know, Faith, the doctor has had to leave for an emergency surgery, so we cannot do this. And I'm thinking, how do you handle this? It's not easy pain. Kidney stone, it's not easy pain. And I'm thinking, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I've already missed work. I need to work. I'm sure each one of you knows we need to work, right? Here I am, I'm not going to have the surgery. I'm still in pain. They have postponed it to next Thursday, coming Thursday. And I'm sitting at home and I'm telling my husband, I don't know what to do. And so I have now to go to my doctor, because now the one who was supposed to handle it has left town. So I'm going to my personal doctor so we can talk about this thing, because I need to go back to work. And so she gets me this pain medication, and I say, I will go back to work. I'll be fine. And I'm actually thinking, my God who helped me then will help me go to work. And so this morning as I stand here, I'm standing here by God's grace. Because I know, why it not God been for God's grace, I would be bending like this. Because the pain medication doesn't cut it. But I know He's faithful, and He's faithful to you, to me, and to anyone who is willing to open themselves up. There was David. He allowed God and trusted that God would do it. And I want to ask you as I finish. Maybe you don't have any giants in your life. Maybe your life is good, great, wonderful. But maybe you're there and you know very well. And only you know, you and your wife, or you and your husband, or you and your children. Even you haven't told anybody, but you do know the giants that are facing you in your home, that are facing you at work, that are facing you as an individual, the struggles. You know, with time I've now come to learn something that I never knew about mental illnesses that is so rampant, especially among our young people. And that's a giant. Huge giant. And it's a giant that we cannot ignore. And it's looking at us. And it's not just the young. It's the parents. It's the moms. It's the brothers. It's the dads. It's there. It's a giant. And it's ignored. And you don't even think about it. But it's there staring at us. What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Another one, it's a giant of a marriage that's falling apart. You're not sure where you stand with as a couple. It's a giant. The enemy is out to fight us psychologically, to make sure as families we don't stand, to make sure as Christians we don't stand, to make sure that we are so discouraged we don't see hope. But yet on the other hand is a God who's standing and saying, look, I did it yesterday, I can do it today, I want to do it in the future, can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me? It doesn't mean that things won't come, but can you trust me to handle them? And that's what I want to offer today. That the giants are there and you know them. There are all kinds of giants. And you know them. But I want to offer you what I have seen in my life, and I'm not perfect, and I'm sure you've seen it in your life, but can we put our faith in God and trust like David did? Little as he was, young as he was, old as you might be, young as you might be, discouraged as you might be, far as you might feel like you're fallen, I don't know where you are, but can we put our faith in our God and know that it's not too late? And know that he doesn't look at us and expect us to look different or get it together for him to work it. All he's asking us is this: Faith, can you trust me that we can get through this? Can you surrender? It is not easy to surrender because you feel like you're giving up control. Especially if you're type A and you want to be in control all the time. I'm one of those. And you feel like you're losing control. But he's asking you to surrender and give control. And when you do, actually, you gain. Because he makes things right. He gives you peace. He directs you to where to go. If you need to talk to somebody, he helps you. He guides you. Do not undermine doctors. God bless them. He has given them a job to do. But even as we believe and have faith in our God and have faith in what we are doing, more than anything, trust that God is the one working through every situation for me and for you, and that he will come through for us. Can we do that? Can we have faith? That's all I would want to challenge and encourage you to do today as we live here. Thank you so much, and God bless you very much. Can we pray? Father, I've shared your word with your children. And God, there are many giants in this room. Many giants that we don't know how to face them. Many giants that are beating us when we wake up in the morning. Many giants that we feel like sometimes we don't know what to do. The bills are piling up. Life is just falling apart. Nobody understands what we are going through. Nobody understands the struggles we have. Nobody understands what is happening. The giants are there just coming over and over again and beating us. But yet God, like David, I want to bring every single person that's faced with the giants today before you. That you would build our faith to you, to trust you to fight the giants for us, to surrender so that you can fight the giants. And to know that, God, you won the battles in the past. You will win them even now and in the future. We are powerless, but in you, we have every power. And we can trust you. We surrender the giants that we have. And I want you to just keep quiet. And in your mind, or even if you want to name them loudly, I don't care. Just tell God the giants that you know. God, I need this giant God. You know that giant that is troubling you every morning, mocking you, beating you. Just mention it. And together, we trust. We pour it to you, God. We give these giants to you and entrust the victory, because you're our God and you're our King. We thank you. We worship you. We adore you. We exalt you. And we pray this, trusting and believing In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.